This is Jody Stone on the 29th of September, 1988, interviewing Ward Whitbeck in his home on Indian Mountain Road in Lakeville. And as I said, Ward, what about the Whitbeck family?
Well, I'll tell you, well, I can remember back just so far. I'm going to tell you what I can remember. My grandfather and grandmother, my father's and Sam's father and mother, they lived here about 60 years. Sam's father was a painter. Him and Mr. Erickson used to have the old master bicycles. He used to get up early, about 6 in the morning, ride near Millbrook or Litchfield, paint all day, come back at night, and they each had a big garden. Now, where the Knife and Handle is on Factory Street is they lived in this house owned by Warners for 62 or 3 years, I forgot. And they'd get up in the morning early and ride to these different outposts, towns, all the way around, paint, 6 days a week. Come back in the evening, 5 or 6 o'clock, work in a garden. And they had a garden years ago. Everybody raised their own vegetables and fruits. And they'd work in that till from 6 probably to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. The drugstore at that time used to be open 10 or 11 at night because we never had electricity. And we'd go up to Jeansburg, and I, with an old Model T, go up to where the house, the Herbs used to be. It used to be, belonged to old Dan Willard, who was the owner and head of the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. And we'd get these 100-pound cakes of ice, bring them down in an old wooden tub, and chop them all up fine, take a baseball bat, and pack it around the ice cream. 6 in the morning, 6 at night, twice a day, 7 days a week. That was when I was, when I first started in the drugstore, I was about 8, 10 years old. In the summertime, I'd work all summer for my uncle. And Gene Spur and I, and let's see, there was Al Longley at that time, senior, and Mill Coons, Gene Spur's wife, who else was in there? Let's wait back, who else was in there besides Al Longley?
Now, Sam's your uncle, was your
Sam's
uncle?
Sam's my uncle, my father's brother, yeah.
Who was your father?
My father was Charles Whitbeck. He was 2 years older than Sam. He was on the Nave and Hartford Railroad for 57 years, one job. He was telegraph operator first off here in Salisbury and all over Connecticut. And he also was a trainer for men who took up this for the railroad. And he was here, and let's see, in Salisbury at that time, we had 5 and 6 passenger trains were here a day. We had trains in the summer that had the open air fringe on the side where people could get out and look at them. When you rode through Twin Lakes, everybody had a windmill at that time to pump their water. And everybody would come running up to the tracks to wave as it went by. And being only a kid, my father, of course, being in the railroad, everybody that belonged to railroad could have a pass. So I used to ride on with the engineer. And everybody come out and wave. And at that time, Twin Lakes, they had a boat. They also had one down here in Lakeville Lake. It was with the fringe on the side. It carried about 10 or 12 people. And for 25 cents, you could ride around the lake in that. I can't tell you exactly the date and year because it's so far back that I can remember so much and that's it, you know. Between the lakes was the post office at that time. It wasn't in Tacoma. And they had a big pavilion. They used to have dances on a weekend. And the post office was there and they used to sell groceries and stuff like that. Once a week they'd have a dance on the weekend. And then my father, from Salisbury, he had to go up to Twin Lakes. He had to alternate, not Twin Lakes, but Taconic. Taconic used to be called Chaykinville at that time. And the old board and milk factory was right beside the station. And everybody here at that time with a horse and team, we didn't have state roads down there, blacktop. They would go early in the morning with a team of horses and carry the milk up there, even in the wintertime on sleigh. And we'd be shipped out from they'd process it at the Borden factory. Then out it would go. Another thing I can remember very vividly, and we lived in a house right above the station at that time. I think Parashina lives there. I can remember that because my father and mother couldn't find me one day, and I was outside of the house, and I was stripped down just in my diapers, and I was sitting right underneath the heat tray, and the water was pouring right down my back. I can remember that because I got an awful liquor. Another instance that went on at that time was my father was missing some money in the station, so he stayed up all one night, and he caught about 3 o'clock in the morning. One of the old Harrow boys was breaking in after money, so he finally got him. He had to have a gun, and he took him with the horse and buggy all the way to Winston to court, to jail. That was in the middle of the night. I remember my mother told me this. And what happened to him, I couldn't tell you. But he said he'd been missing something like $300 or $400 or something like that. So he finally made up his mind he's gonna see what he could do about it. Yeah. But just trying to think what else that time I was about all I can think about it there. Is this going on all the time?
You want me to turn it off?
No.
Yeah, it's just running. It's just running.
I think what they'd have to do is pick out the best.
No, we want it just as it comes.
Okay. Well, so long ago, you know, and after, well, I'm 75 now, and to remember way back, you know.
Now tell me about, you said you went to school in what's now the courthouse.
Yeah. That was where I first went to school. See, my father was switched all over the state at times. Where I went to school the longest was in Seymour, Connecticut. I'd come up here and I'd work all summer long in a drugstore for Sam, and then I'd go back to school in the fall.
Was the drugstore always there?
Yeah.
Where it is now?
It used to be owned by, before Sam got it, I'm trying to think. Sam had it, about 63 years ago. Champlain, the owner.
And Sam bought it from him or worked there first?
First, Sam was, he was learning to be a druggist. And he used to take care of Doc Liberty, yeah. He was a druggist there for him for a number of years before I bought the software drugstore.
It was always called, I've never heard it called anything but Whitbeck's. I mean, it's never called Salisbury Drugstore.
Well, it's Salisbury Farms.
Yeah, Whitbeck's.
What it used to be called, so it goes back. And
now,
when he had it, just a small building, one side of the drugstore was the post office. It was in one side of the drugstore on the left-hand side, or on the right, if you would not.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for a few years to the post office, where it is now that's built.
What was across the street?
Across the street was Kimberly's Market. Mr. and Mrs. Kimberly and their son, who was never married, Charlie Kempney, ran the, that store. And Charlie Du Bois, Jimmy Du Bois's father, was butcher. And that was the only store. It took care of the whole block. The whole block there. And of course where the Travis store was, that wasn't there. Now the house I lived in for 33 years in Salisbury was right beside Kimberly's Market. Used to belong to Charlie Spur. He was professor of something up at the Hotchkiss for a number of years. He had a son and a daughter. I think they're still alive in Washington, but both him and his wife are gone. But after, when Trotta built the market, that house was moved up and back. Remember?
Yes, I remember now.
Okay.
It's the something apartments.
Well, we brought up a large family, 7 boys and 4 girls. So we had to stretch our pennies, you know? So we got that for minimum wage, so not too much money anyway. We didn't have to pay for it. Of course, we had to practically rebuild it on the inside. And I built all the walls all around it. When I was with Fuller Brush for 7 years before I was with their thing, I hauled stone from all over in my travels, and I built the upper wall and the one down below on account of drainage to keep the water from falling down. Mr. Trotta was very good to me. We used to have a large sewer connection, but it was always plugging up, so he allowed me to build three drains, and they filled up, and I built 3 more, I think, after that. He told me to build all I wanted back there, so I did insulate them well, so there couldn't be no drains, secret job. Finally, we got sewer, you know, the sewer came through. Well, I put a new sewer, I put a new roof on that place, I put a new heating system, hot water heating system all through. It had a full-size attic, full-size cellar, 4 large bedrooms, bath, and downstairs a large living room, dining room, and 2 fireplaces.
Now tell me,
that house was over 100 and some years old.
When you got it?
Yeah.
Now, you're Sam's nephew.
Right.
Bam. What's his real
cousin.
Name? Bam.
What's his real name?
Yeah.
Nelson. Nelson.
No, that's right. Okay.
Nelson.
Then
yeah.
Walt is Walter.
Walter Samuel, right. He's named after his father.
And Anna.
Anna.
They had 3 children.
That's right.
And Bam is married to Audrey.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Are there another generation of Whitbacks coming along from Audrey and Bam?
Well, Audrey and Bam have a boy and a girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going into the pharmacy business?
No.
So this drugstore is going to go when he retires. It
That's
won't
right,
be with
when Bam goes.
That's it.
Because Anna's never druggist. And Walt was never druggist. It's a shame about Walt, though, because Walt was always very close to his mother, Sam's first wife. She was a wonderful person.
To whose first wife?
Sam's first wife.
Okay. Yeah. Who was that?
She was a Marston, but she was a wonderful person. She died in her 40s.
Do you remember her first name?
Carrie.
Carrie.
Yeah. I think she was 48 when she died. Dr. Peterson, if I remember Doc. He was after for this one operation for years, and so was Sam, but she would never go. And it finally hit her. I think it was 2. And it was a shame because everybody thought they moved. The only trouble, Walt went to, let's see, he got all his credentials. And I would, I'm trying to think what he took, I advertised him. Went to
so
Boston.
He wasn't a pharmacist either?
No. He went to Boston, got his license to be an advertisement. I tried to get him to go to New York for where most of it was, you know, at that time. But he wouldn't go, and he always hung around. He was always close to his mother. And so he never got married, and he was in the service before that. But, of course, now he's not too good.
So Bam's the pharmacist in the family, yeah.
Audrey's one.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is she?
Yeah. Uncle Sam, I always call him Uncle Sam. He sent both of them, both of them through pharmacy.
After they were married?
Yeah. Both of them. Otherwise, Bam was in the service for a while. And after he got out, well, he put both of them through. Yeah. Now, what went on around town at that time? Well, I'll tell you, long before the ski jump was built, and that was built about 63 years ago, we didn't have any state road bumps in Salt Creek, no lights, no electricity. But in the wintertime, this is before this jump was ever built, up the top of Selick Hill, way up the top, we used to start in the evening. Now, in the evening, in a winter night, when there's plenty of snow on the ground, there'd be 100 people on that street or more, maybe 200 or 300. Howard Knickerbocker had a big ripper, and where George Sillick's mill used to be, my grandmother's house was the one down below that.
Now, where was this mill?
Right on the corner, right where Bam lived on. Remember where Bam lived in the corner up there?
Uh-oh.
Well, that's after they were married, they bought this place. They bought George Sillick's place. But where the old mill, the Red Mill was, you remember where that was?
No, is it beyond Salisbury Artisans?
Oh, yeah.
You could keep going then.
Yeah, keep going. And as you get up around, you know where...
You don't go to the old dump then.
Oh, no, the old dump is up
Erickson's.
Is way up by
Erickson's. Yeah, so you're bare left.
Yeah, you're bare, well, you go right around the sharp turn, like you up. That corner has been cut short about 20 years ago. But years ago, when we come down, we'd hardly be able to make the turn. Now, in the wintertime, we used to take snow and pack it maybe 20 feet high, pour water over it at night and let it freeze so we could make that turn there. Because we did, we all went, it was about, I think the river held about 12. And one evening we landed in the brook way down below because we couldn't make the corner. So that's what we did. We all got together and put this big pile of snow there. There's a small house right there. Well, you couldn't see the house. We had it built so high. So when we came around that corner, it was all ice on that, you know. We'd make the corner and wind down. We used to end up down the ball field. Then everybody be singing and laughing, joking, and so forth, walk all the way back up to Erickson's and come all down, maybe 4 or 5 times a night.
So you came down from Erickson's?
That's right, way up the top. Way up the Lion's Head, way up the top. That's where we started. And there's a ride on a sled.
Now, it was moonlight then?
Yeah.
Would have to be, or you'd be killed.
Now, in January years ago, you don't see it anymore. In January years ago, you used to have a warm spell, and the snow would melt. We'd have 2 or 3 foot of snow on the ground, and that would melt into a crust. Now, right down below that curve that we used to go, it used to be what we call Jenny Dexter's house, set down in where you cross the bridge, go over to the barn. When that lot over there, the center of it is a crevice in it like this. Now when you got crossed in the rain, that would be hard as a brick. So there'd probably be 50 or 75 people nights over there just sliding. You start to slide, you can slide all night. And we used to slide in dish pans.
The way kids use trays today.
Yeah, well, the only sleds you had were the ones that you moved around like this. You lifted it up as you went around a corner and swerved, you know, and leaned. Didn't have no flexible flyers. They came out afterwards. But everybody had a good time there.
Now, you said you only went to school K kindergarten in the old courthouse, but you must have come back here to live if you were sledding in the winter.
Oh, yes, sure, sure. I was here 90% of my life in Salisbury, just to go away to school in the wintertime, that was all.
Because
my father would switch from one place to another. He ended up in charge of a haven, all the traffic that goes in and out down there.
So you lived here in the winter a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you go to school here?
Right, well, Academy building.
And then what?
That's all, I went to school here.
Well, how did you?
I started here, but yeah. No, in the wintertime, wherever Dad was stationed, I'd have to go for the winter to go to school. Could be Cheshire. I know he was down in Cheshire for quite a bit. He was in Waterbury for quite a spell. So, if I started to name all the towns that he was in, and I was shipped around for school.
How old were you when you did all this sledding?
Let's see. When I did the sledding, I'd say about 10, 12, 14, something like that. Yeah. And when they built the ski jump, I think I was 16.
Did you ever as a child go over to Lakeville?
Oh, yeah.
You did? And swim in the lake? And
yeah, sure.
So the kids in Salisbury did get around with
the kids. Oh yeah, everybody walked down there. Like, never thought of it. Didn't have a car. I can remember my grandfather, the first car he had was a Model T. Oh yes, and the taxi man was old Dan Ashman here. He bought the first Model T for it. I think my grandfather was second.
Do you mean Ashman? On Under Mountain Road, yes. Where the new housing is.
Charlie, I'm not talking about his son.
Charlie was Dan's son.
Yeah, old Dan Ashman. He was an old man. And at that time, we lived up over the garage, right beside the White Hart Inn. That, there used to be a house on top of that garage. And that used to be owned and run by Ralph Britton. At those time years ago, to advertise the tires, they used to have a baby alligator in the window splashing around. That was advertised Goodyear and Firestone, how tough they were. Yeah. Now, when we lived in Waterbury one year that I was down there and went to school out towards Cheshire, there was a farmer that raised these alligators just for this purpose. And I used to go, my sister and I, Elizabeth, she's still alive, but I lost my youngest in my family. My father was a brother that I lost in the service about 4 years ago. There was two boys and two girls, my family, and I'm the oldest. And we used to watch this farmer feed these alligators. That was his business, selling them to the tire company.
Now the White Hart, of course, was there.
White Hart was there.
What was
now? I'll tell you where the stores were in Salisbury. Right next to the drugstore, where the bank is now, that used to be a dry goods store. My aunt Carrie Conklin used to manage it. Next to that was a barber shop, with that little antique place. Then there was George Clark's grocery store,
which is where the Connecticut Yankee is.
That's right. Now, he used to have a white mare, and every week, Tim Doty and I, we'd go up one day and deliver another day, about 2 days apart. And a white mare, we'd go up 4.5 miles up to the top of the mountain and go to all the camps, take orders. And on a Thursday, we'd go up and deliver them. Old George Clark would give us a great big bag of candy and a lot of donuts and stuff like that to eat on the way up, on the way back. I remember.
You remember who had camps up there then?
Oh yes, sure. There was the Bordens. There was Griggs. There was McCabe's. There was Wells.
Of course. Warner.
Yeah. One winter I took care of all the camps up there. I think I was, it was before I was married. I was married when I was 21.
How'd you get up there?
Huh?
How'd you get up there with all that snow?
Well, I could go up and down that. Well, at that time, I had a Franklin air cooled, 21-inch wheel beds. And I could walk up and down there no matter how deep the snow was. I had these gargoyles that had 21-inch wheelbase, you know. That's. Then they had these long spiked tires on them. They came from Spiegel's years ago. Never used change. And at that time, I had charge of all the kids here in town going to ski jumps. Old DJ Warner would pay me to take them every summer. Come over to Brooks Garden. Here's $20. Take them all down. Go to Fairmount, Fishkill, Lake Placid, all over.
What kids? Just kids
just
hanging around?
Just the ones that begin to learn, like Harvey Decker Jr. and John, I forget all of them that started in. No, but I can remember, sure, when the safeties first came over here, the main street at that time when Kimley's was on the other side of the drugstore where it is, and next to it, as I explained, was the dry goods store and the barbershop and George Clark's. Well, across Main Street, years ago, the iron that was made, the chain and everything, was made up on Mount Raggett at the old furnace up there. It's on the left-hand side just before you get to the dam. And I think they're going to rebuild it now. I've heard they were. The ore that was made up there came down and they made this chain. It went across from George Clark's all the way over to the fires of the Congregational Church. It dipped like that. And then had the solid with the ball on top fence, you know. And when the safeties first came over here, John and Olaf, they were the first two. And John went to work for DJ Warner at that time. Well, they lived in back of the barber shop. And they would get on their skis, everybody in town. We didn't know what skis were at that time. All we used was barrel staples, you know. So they'd get on them and they'd go just like, you might say they were going 50 miles an hour, streak of lightning. They'd go right straight down Main Street, one post to another, jump, 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 just like that. Streak of lightning they were with. So that got everybody in town, all the kids anyway, interested in skis. Well, I remember Sam giving me my first pair of Nordland skis. And I can remember following John Satry and Olaf around when they first broke in the race course down and back where the jump is up over the hill and back down to Willard's that way. I never forgot. First time on skis, up over that mountain, trying to follow their tracks, and every once in a while they'd stop and say, look around, see if I was anywhere near them. They probably were a mile ahead of me. And all of a sudden they'd come skiing back to get me to keep on going. So I did. When it got coming down towards Willard's there's a barbed wire fence. And they put their hand on a post and jump, and I see him go on down, so I got down to that fence, and I couldn't do it. Ripped my pants, cut my legs all up. What a mess I was. I got up to the drugstore, so I don't get you remember that. Oh, God.
Did you get to be a good skier?
Oh, yeah, sure. I skied, jumped, and raced, and everything afterwards, sure.
So they taught you?
Yeah, they taught me all right.
So that's why you were
we
picked
used
to take
up
the
here
kids.
Years ago, moonlight nights up around the golf course up here to Hotchkiss. And maybe you see, you were there quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert Torsen, you ever mm-hmm. knew him?
No, I didn't, but I know the name.
He worked in the kitchen mm-hmm. up there. He was a good skier too. He was from Norway. And we'd come up here and ski all over the place up around there in the woods. Come back down to the school and have a bite to eat and go home. Sure.
That's interesting. What was the Ragamont when you were a kid?
That used to be the Maple Shade.
But an inn?
Yeah. Mr. Kelsey owned that. His name was Kelsey. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Kelsey, that's right. But I forgot what happened to him.
Tell me about canvas ceilings. I don't know what they are.
Well, they got to be stretched. They're like a cloth. You have to put so much paint or solution with them and stretch them tight. When you pull them, and you can't have a wrinkle in them.
Why would you want canvas?
You did years
ago. It was fashionable?
Yeah.
Were they painted a color or were they just canvas?
White.
White.
Well, it was like a sheet. It was like a sheet when they did it.
Did a lot of people have them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So it was a style.
But it could, every man couldn't do it. Every painter couldn't do it. There's only a very few that ever could do it.
So this was Mr. You just said his name.
My wife's father was Pitcher.
And?
He used to do all of Buckley's work in Jerry.
Yeah.
And
Erickson.
Erickson. Walter Erickson.
Walter.
Walter Erickson. They're all his sons, all of Erickson boys.
Yeah.
And Harold Erickson, the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what are master bikes?
It's a regular bike, men's bike,
mm-hmm.
with the bar across on it. That was the name of it years ago.
That was the trade name.
That was the trade name, yeah.
And they pedaled these things all the way.
Yeah, they were made for tall people, see.
And they went all the way to Litchfield on them?
Yep, they used to ride, paint all day, come back, they'd go to Millbrook, and ride the bicycle back, and that's when they had all dirt roads. They never had cement or blacktop then.
Carrying their paint with them.
Well, they'd have their lunch pail tied to their front of them. And if they had the paint, or if they were probably a distance, probably they probably had whoever owned the place was having it done, they had to buy the paint and they did the work. That's probably it. Because I've never seen my grandfather Tan put a pail of paint on the handlebar. I've never seen that. I've seen him tie the lunch pails to them. Then afterwards, when they each had a Model T, that one, then they had a car. That was my first car, was a Model T. I got mine from Gene Spurr's father. He had one, and the one I bought had been to California and back twice. I paid $20 for it. My grandfather, when he bought his first Model T, brand new, only cost $495. Brand new. Sure.
When do you think the roads started being paved around here?
I think... I won't say for sure, but I'd say around, I think it was around 23, 24, something like that. At that time, I remember they were building Scoville's mansion. And also after that, right after that, they were, just before they started to change, before they put the cement road through, they started to change the curve in the halfway down the Smith Hill. And opposite that, the drive that goes into Harris's, I remember when that was being built. They were nice people, Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
There was a curve there?
Yeah. Well, the road went to the right and then down. Then they cut that off so it comes up more straight, you know, than usual.
The Whitbeck family's well known in town for being very kind to people. Supportive of people. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. People can go into drugstores.
Of course, the Whitbeck's up on Mount Rag, you know.
No.
Didn't you know that?
No.
Why, sure. Well, there's only one left, young Jim Whitbeck. I worked with his father during the war, American Brass, in Torrington for 5 years, when I was up to Magnesia for 5 years after that.
Who's he?
Jim Whitbeck, no, he's not my age, he's about 50-something, I think. But his father, his mother died last year. She used to write for the Mount Washington News. And then his father, Merv Whitbeck, he worked with me during the war. And then there was Ezra, he took care of the fire tower up there. And And well, anyway, there's four or five of them, Whitbecks. And Merv knew the mountain from A to Z. Now, I'm trying to think. One of them, his business was catching rattlesnakes up there. He used to come down, and I've seen him when I was a kid. I'd go over and look at him, walk over to the drugstore. In the back of a Model T, he had chicken wire all around, all enclosed, top and bottom, and he'd have that loaded with rattlesnakes alive. He used to drive all the way to New York with that Model T, come off the mountain, and sell them to businesses for it. That was very delicate meat for the restaurants in New York City. He made a good living out of it. That was his business, catching rattlesnakes.
Now, what is that branch to Sam, to you?
Now, I asked my father once, he thought they were some sort of a cousin, and I could never figure it out. And I never had a chance, because my grandfather died when he was only in his 60s. So I never got much of a chance to ask him. And I remember Sam staying up all night with a lamp, studying to be a druggist.
Can you?
My Uncle Sam,
yeah,
had the drugstore. And then he'd have to go to Hartford and pass examination. I could make sure some nights with my grandmother would be up. Sam, I hear her holler, "You get to sleep. You got to get up in the morning." Jerry, all night long, just study.
Do you suppose Sam moved here because of the mountain Whitbecks, or the other way around?
No. Sam was brought up here in Salisbury. And there was Sam and my father and Edna. She was in charge of, the Fleischman estate on Wells Hill, where Lufkin lives now. She did all the cooking and had charge of everything up there, the maids and everything. They all the bills for and everything like that. Yeah. She was a good cook. That's as much as I can remember there. Had at least 35,000-40,000 people here at Tuskegee. That's no lie. That's the truth. Maybe I'm way off on it, because we'd have cars on both sides of the road from Lakeville to Salt Creek Park. We'd have all the back lots down there. Down where the town garage and the Oxford Christine used to be, that was all open with cars, jammed full. House of Herbs, that was all full. All the way up down on both sides of the Under Mountain Road, and all the lots were all full of cars. That's when we first had.
Why not now then?
Because we had real good jumpers then. Now we had all the safeties. There was Olaf, Magnus, Severe, Ola Hege. These were all national champions in Finland and over here. And then our local ones. Now, there used to be Harvey Decker Jr., who got to be very good. He was trained by the Sakers. And there was John Decker and Harold Smith. He was my cousin, Edna's boy. And I'm trying to think. All the Ashman boys, they were all good at it. Well, there was a number of kids around here, but really.
What you're saying is, ski jumping was a pretty novel thing in America,
yes,
in those days, which is why you
sure
had crowds.
Was. Yeah, that's right. It was, because I think it first started more or less in the eastern part here than it did out in the west. Of course, out towards Lake Placid came up next. But it all started with the safeties coming over here.
And who built the jump? The town?
Yeah, I helped work build that jump. That was built. It's all 62 or 63 years ago. And it was enlarged somewhat. And then we started off with down below on the right-hand side of the junior jump. And the safety started training the young kids in town. And that's about as much as I can tell about it. But crowds, this town was jammed. You couldn't move around this town years ago.
Or didn't Mrs. Roosevelt?
Yeah, well, Mrs. Roosevelt's been here and giving out cups. Well, he's had a lot of well-to-do people. She used to give out a lot when we went.
Oh, speech up in here is back to the
big. Oh. But, you see, you had jumpers that were real jumpers. You know what I mean? And they taught the younger generation up here. And that's what made Salisbury. Heck, people come from all over. Television, you'd have big write-ups in it. Show pictures of jumping and everything here.
Well, not television.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Whitbeck. That's the end.